From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nyoka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto has said the government is committed to strengthening food resilience and promoting farmers' and fishermen's welfare and has prepared a number of stimuli to achieve this end. The stimuli and incentive are aimed at maintaining the performance of the agricultural and fishery sectors. Minister Hartarto, while meeting cattle raisers during an Eat Chicken and Eggs campaign at the IPP International Convention Center in Bogor, West Java on Thursday, said that to cover labor-intensive programs in the agricultural and fisheries sectors, the president's productive assistance for micro, small, and medium businesses engaged in the agriculture sector, interest subsidies on micro business credit, and financing for cooperatives under a fund rotating scheme. He also highlighted strategic programs in the food and agricultural sector that the government has implemented in 2021, ranging from stabilizing food prices and supplies, developing exports-oriented horticulture, horticulture's closed-loop partnerships, rejuvenating smallholders' palm oil plantation, to developing the seaweed industry. Deputy Health Minister Dante Saxono Harbuono drew attention to COVID-19 cases tending to rise among the senior citizen group after Eid al-Fitr holiday. Harbuono stated during a press conference of the 2021 Senior Citizen Day held virtually on Thursday that the number of cases involving senior citizens increased since they were central components in the tradition followed to maintain relationships during the Eid al-Fitr holiday. The Health Ministry has set a target to prepare the COVID-19 case peak report on the residents' mobility during the post-Eid al-Fitr holiday that can be monitored by mid-June 2021. Indonesia's 64.2 million micro-small and medium-scale enterprises MSMEs have contributed more than 8 trillion rupiah, or 61.07% to its GDP, as March of 2021, as per data from the Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises MSMEs ministries. In addition to improving their product quality and competitiveness, MSMEs also need to take advantage of digital technology in order to strengthen their presence not only in the domestic market, but also to expand to the global export market. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto recently said that this can be a chance to accelerate digital transformation and tap the potential of Indonesia's digital economy, which is still widely open. Indonesia has the fourth biggest population in the world, with internet penetrations reaching 196.7 million people. Let's move on to the international news. Britain will have a team of mental health specialists at the Tokyo Olympics to offer support to their athletes and staff, the newspaper reported on Friday. The report said there will be 10 mental health experts who will work under a sports psychologist lead and a doctor for team members at the Games, which are scheduled to begin on July 23rd. A Japanese Olympic Committee board member on Friday blasted organizers of the Tokyo Games for ignoring public concerns about holding the global sporting showpiece amid the COVID-19 pandemic but said it was too late to cancel. Japan has recorded nearly 750,000 COVID-19 cases and more than 13,000 deaths. The United States and Singapore have selected Ebing Air National Guard Base in Fort Smith, Arkansas, as the preferred location to host the Republic of Singapore Air Force's RSAF or F-35B fighter training detachment, the Ministry of Defense or MINDEF said on Friday. The choice was made by the U.S. Department of Defense in a consultation with MINDEF. The U.S. Air Force said in a press statement that the decision came after several U.S. allies and partner nations showed interest in conducting F-35 training at the U.S. base F-35 training facility. MINDEF said that the RSAF is looking ahead to enhance cooperation with the USAF and U.S. Marine Corps. Selfridge Air National Guard Base in Harrison Township, Michigan, will serve as an alternate location for the training detachment. Vietnam has approved China's Sinopharm vaccine for use against COVID-19, state media reported on Friday, making it the third shot to be endorsed in a Southeast Asian country that is tackling a new outbreak of infection. The decision to approve the Sinopharm vaccine was issued by the Health Ministry, the official Vietnam news agency reported. Vietnam has previously approved the AstraZeneca vaccine and Russia's Sputnik V. Vietnam is trying to accelerate its vaccine procurement drive to tackle a more stubborn wave of infection, even though its overall caseload and fatality numbers remain relatively low. Minister of Health Nguyen Tan Long said on Wednesday that Vietnam was nearing its target of acquiring 150 million doses of vaccine this year to inoculate 75% of its 98 million population. The countries who have taken delivery of nearly 2.9 million doses of coronavirus vaccines so far, mostly AstraZeneca shots, and about 1 million have been administered. Singapore will tighten border control measures for travelers from Guangzhou amid an increase in COVID-19 cases in the Chinese province, said the Ministry of Health on Friday. Singapore citizens, permanent residents and long-term pass holders who have been in Guangdong will have to take a COVID-19 polymerase chain reaction or PCR test on arriving in Singapore. From 11:59 p.m. on Saturday, short-term travelers holding an air travel pass with travel history to Guangdong within the last 21 days will not be allowed to enter Singapore. They will also serve a 7-day stay-home notice at their place of residence and take another PCR test before the end of their isolation period. All other travelers from China do not have to serve a stay-home notice. They are required to take a PCR test upon arrival, and if the result is negative, they will be allowed to go about their activities in Singapore. That was the news.
Thank you.
COVID-19, AFP news agency on Friday reported that at least 40 countries, including countries in East and South Africa, are now on track to achieve a 90% reduction in AIDS-related deaths by 2030. In a report, the Joint United Nations Programme on HIV and AIDS said that 37.6 million people worldwide were living with HIV in 2020. Of that total, 27.4 million, or more than three times the number in 2010, received treatment. A condition that is quite encouraging and makes one optimistic that AIDS can be conquered by 2030. As an epidemic disease that destroys the immune system, it is hoped that AIDS can be controlled by 2030. Currently, the number of patients and deaths has decreased. According to the BBC on Thursday, the United Nations AIDS Agency said that to reduce the rate of spread of AIDS, further international efforts and cooperation were needed. The steps being taken now have not been able to end the spread of the disease yet. What needs to be a concern now is how to keep the spirit of overcoming AIDS from being hampered in the current states of the COVID-19 pandemic. The AIDS-free target by 2030 that has been proclaimed must be secured in a pandemic. In fact, amid the coronavirus pandemic like now, a strong immune system is needed. Of course, this is a challenge for AIDS sufferers. Whether people with HIV and AIDS are more susceptible to COVID-19 is actually still being studied. Citing the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the risk of COVID-19 for everyone is the same, including those who have or do not have HIV. People of all ages who have serious medical conditions may be at higher risk of developing severe illness because they have a weak immune system. Thus, the risk of people with HIV/AIDS being infected with the coronavirus is very large. It is hoped that with comprehensive steps amid the COVID-19 pandemic, the AIDS-free target by 2030 can be achieved. Today in history will begin on June 4, 1917, when Pulitzer Prize was awarded for the first time for print journalism in the U.S. The Pulitzer Prize is the most prestigious award of print journalism in the U.S. The prize is also given for achievement in literature and musical composition. The Pulitzer Prize was awarded for the first time on June 4, 1917, and after some time ago it began to be awarded annually every April. The awardee is chosen by an independent body of officials regulated by the Columbia University Graduate Schools of Journalism. The award itself was created by Joseph Pulitzer, a Hungarian-American journalist and newspaper proprietor since the end of 19th century. Let's move on to June 4, 1962, when the first dispatch of the Indonesian National Army into West Papua occurred. When West Papua was still under control of the Dutch Indies, Indonesia dispatched some of the soldiers to seize it, led by Major L.B. Mordani. On June 4, 1962, at Tanah Miring District, the soldiers were deployed. To commemorate landing, L.B. Mordani Monument was made by the Merauke government. We end today in history on June 4, 1989, when the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacres occurred. The Tiananmen Square protest was a series of protests by students at Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China, on April 15 until June 4, 1989. The protest was against economic instability and corruption that soon turned into a pro-democracy protest. In the beginning, the government did not take any direct action against the protesters, but on June 3 until 4, soldiers began to move to Tiananmen Square, shot and arrested the protesters to control the situation. The exact number of casualties was unknown. In the end of June 1989, the Chinese government announced 200 civilians and dozens of security apparatuses died. Some speculated the casualties could even be hundreds or thousands.
Sepertinya biasa saja, tapi ku mulai curiga, rasa hati berbeda. Melihat tatap matanya, aku jadi salah tingkah. Tak tahu entah mengapa, aku jadi jatuh cinta. Semua karena kamu.
Yes.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The governments of Indonesia and South Korea agreed to increase protection for Indonesian fishing ship crew who are working on South Korean fishing ships. The agreement was included in MOU signed by Indonesia Manpower Minister Ida Fauzia and South Korean Maritime and Fishery Minister Seong Hyuk Moon virtually on Monday. Minister Ida Fauzia remarked the MOU signing was an important moment for the two nations. The signing marked the beginning of bilateral cooperation implementation on work relation and manpower for Indonesian fishing ships crews working on Korean coastal fishing ships above 20 tons. Ida Fauzia said, "The MOU is very important for Indonesian government, considering the vulnerability of the crew protections aboard the ships. Moreover, the pandemic increased the complexities for migrant workers, especially the ship's crews." She said a bilateral cooperation is necessary to manage the placement mechanism and to increase protection of employee and employer's rights. The Indonesian Manpower Minister further said, "South Korea is one of the most favorite placed countries for Indonesian migrant workers. Based on data from South Korean immigration for April 30, 2020, there were 5,343 Indonesian fishing ship crews. This shows the high need for Indonesian fishing ship crews." Ida Fauzia then said, "Through the MOU signing, the bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea can be strengthened. Also, the recruitment and placement are expected to improve, while the protection for Indonesian fishing ship crews and employers in South Korea can be increased."
Dan gembira di tengah pesta, aku lihat si dia lincah gayanya dan masa kini ingin hatiku mencium pipinya, tapi malu rasanya. Oh, hip hip hura 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 hura.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Today's edition of Indonesian Wonder will introduce you to the Bauzi tribe in Papua. The Bauzi tribe is one of 260 indigenous tribes that now inhabits Papua. The Central Statistic Agency BPS of Papua also includes the Bauzi tribe in the list of 20 identified isolated tribes. The Bauzi tribes lives in remote forests or in villages along the banks of the Mamberano River and Lake Bira, Mamberano Raya Regency in Papua. They are good at hunting mujair or tilapia fish, whose measures is up to 20 centimeters wide. This jumbo-sized fish is also called mujair papan. The Bauzi people usually process the fish as salted fish and then it is sold in Jayapura. Besides being good at hunting mujair fish, the Bauzi tribe is also famous as a hunter tribe of crocodile and snake. They approve that the meat of crocodiles and snakes is the best food in the world. The meat of crocodile and snake is usually cooked by roasting on the fireplace. Then it is eaten with sago, baked bananas, or breadfruit. Traditionally, in hunting crocodiles, Bauzi people knit and weave robes made from the fibers of the famous Malinjo tree. This rope is made like a lesser robe. After the rope is ready, they hunt crocodiles in the river, which becomes a nest of the animal by using a boat. They usually hunt at the midday, when the sun is overhead. Then, a Bauzi man will swim on the surface of the river by carrying some ropes. He will look for the shadow of a crocodile at the bottom of the river. If a crocodile is seen, he will swim towards the crocodile's head to make sure whether its eyes are open or closed. If the crocodile's eyes are opened, he will retreat quickly, which means it is dangerous. However, if the crocodile's eyes are closed, as quickly as possible, he will wrap one rope around the crocodile's snout and another rope around the crocodile's front legs. Then, the tips of the rope are handed over to other hunters who are waiting at the bank of the river. They will pull the crocodile ashore and kill it. Uniquely, the Bauzi tribe knows the telephone communication methods of forests. This is a method of sending messages over long distance without optical cables, transmitting towers, and electricity. Researchers of the Papua Archaeology Center's Hari Soroto explain that this method is a term to describe a chain message that originates from one person, and then it is conveyed to another one by shouting very loudly. The home or cottage of the Bauzi tribe is in the forest. One group and other groups live far away from each other. Therefore, forest telephones have become an effective method of communicating and conveying messages to people far away. The advantage of the forest telephone is that when somebody shouts at a certain levels of voice, his voice will reverberate in the valley or from the bank to the upper place until the river, so it is easy for other tribe members to hear. Generally, the Bauzi people use forest telephone when looking for friends or family members who are hunting in the forest. They also use the forest telephone to deliver the news if a relative dies.
Thank you.
peristiwa yang telah kita hadapi bersama. Beribu suka dan duka mewarnai cerita kita. Kilauan pelu dan air mata membakar api yang membara. Kita
you've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for your listener on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia is one of the countries with the richest biodiversity in the world. Before the era of independence, European countries competed to occupy Indonesia for spices. In Indonesia culture, spices have been used by Indonesian ancestors as medicines. Today, spices are still the people's choice as ingredients for preparation that aim to maintain health, including students from the State University of Malang, who process a number of plants into infused water beverage products. The Malang State University team succeeded in making Nutrifin, which is an innovative product of infused water, by using several Indonesian plants as basic ingredients, such as red galangal, noni, kale lime, and blue pea flower. Nutrofin contains the active compound scopoletin, which has several functions, such as antivirus and lowering blood pressure. The combination of active compounds contained in the basic ingredients of nootropin is expected to have two main functions, namely improving blood circulation and lowering cholesterol. This innovation from UM students attains achievement in international events at the Malaysia Young Scientist and Exhibition 2021. They won a silver medal in the food technology category. In addition, in the Nigerian Organization for Creativity, Innovation and Invention Promotion, IP World Fair 2021 competition, they won a gold medal in the food and health category. This award also proves that Indonesian plants and spices are very efficacious in treating diseases. That's miscellany.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a regional song from South Sulawesi entitled Lembata Tanah Luwu, Risang and Rearranged by Imagineer and Electromix featuring Imha Muntaha. The song tells about the beauty of Tanah, the longing of a nomad to return land. Tanah Luwu is one of the area in South. Tanah Luwu is a fertile soil producing cocoa, coffee, cloves, shrimps. Here is the regional song from Southwest Sulawesi entitled Lembata Luwu, sung by Imagineer and Electromix Taha. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Seluas angkasa berderet berbaris menyatu, coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa kulakukan, perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara Indonesia ku tercinta. Menjadi mata yang terus mengalir, selalu memberi karya terbaik bagi bangsa. Menjadi mata air, ciptakan kedamaian, menjawab tantangan arah tujuan masa. Seluas angkasa berderet berbaris menyatu, coba untuk mencari tahu apakah gerangan yang bisa,
apa yang bisa
lakukan, perjuangkan untuk bangsa dan negara.
Sepertinya biasa saja, tapi
Of Indonesia.
Now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.